We have been plodding through the Apostles' Creed. It's like message, like, I don't know, this is like 9 or something wild like that. So I'm excited about this Sunday. I'm excited about where we're going in the Creed this morning. So we talked about last week about that Jesus, we told you last week that this year, if you were here last week, you get 2 Easter messages, right? So you got an Easter message last week as far as rising from the dead and what that means, that we were raised with Christ, amen? And so we're going to actually go a little bit further with that this morning, and we're going to talk about that Jesus is not only risen, but he ascended and is seated, amen? And so we're going to talk about that he is seated in power this morning. And so so last week, like I said, we talked about that Jesus rose from the dead. But not only did he just rise from the dead and just like say, hey guys, here I am, but he also ascended into heaven, scripture says, right? So in Luke chapter 24 and verse 51, Luke writes this. He says, while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 10, Luke, the writer of Acts, again says, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, and suddenly 2 men dressed dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking at the sky? The same Jesus who had been taken from you will also come back. Come on, Jesus. Come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So we see that Jesus, not only was he raised from the dead, but also Scripture says that he actually, one more scripture, Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. It says actually, we'll get to that in a minute, but it says that over a period of 40 days. So Jesus didn't rise from the dead, right? And just like, hey guys, I'm here, gotta go, right? No, he hung around for 40 more days. 40 more days. And so the question is like, what was Jesus doing for those 40 days? What was Jesus doing in between that time where he rises from the dead, presents himself to the disciples and some other people? And so in those 40 days, like, what did he do, right? Well, it actually tells us what he did. He says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, after suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many, many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about what? The kingdom of God. Notice that Jesus continues to teach on the kingdom of God, continues the same thing Jesus was preaching and teaching on the whole time, to preach the kingdom. We've talked extensively this year about the kingdom of God, this year and actually last year, about the kingdom of God. God's new way of doing life, new way, the way God always intended life to be, right? His good world, God created the world, right? And he wanted his good, all of his goodness to be infiltrated all through the world, and sin kind of ruined that, right? So Jesus is bringing that back, and he's saying, this is the world I wanted it all to be. Go read Sermon on the Mount if you want to know what the kingdom of God is all about. So, that almost rhymes. So, what else did Jesus teach? He gives the Great Commission. Go and make disciples and baptize. Amen? Go and make disciples. That's our job. It's not the job. Man, let me just say, it's not the job of just the quote leaders of the church, whatever even that means, right? It's the people of God making disciples. Your job and my job are to make disciples, amen, and to baptize. By the way, you don't have to just I know you don't have to. Let me just say this: you don't have to have like some kind of whatever to baptize people. That is your job as a believer. So I encourage you, go baptize somebody. Just take them and just, you know. Don't do the, what's the guy's name? Don't do the Nacho Libre. Don't like forward dunk them, you know? Right? Amen. Amen. If y'all on the members page, you saw some of that this week. We said we're going to do a baptism and somebody had to do the, so if they get baptized, that's how I'm going to do them. So that's your job and that's my job, to go in all the world and make disciples, right? Not just make converts, amen, first step, amen, make disciples, right? So that's what we're called to do, is make the, and then he says to teach all others all the things that I commanded to you. And then he tells them to go and wait right? For the promise of the Holy Spirit. So in that time, that's what Jesus is doing. He's going out and he's telling them to go make disciples. He's going out and he's telling them to teach everything. Teach what I've taught. What I taught you, go teach others, right? So as you read what Jesus taught, go teach others. Amen? That's our job. That's what Jesus is doing. And then in 1 Corinthians, he kind of sums it all up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. It says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as the first importance, that Christ," here we go, "that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Here's another creed actually right in here. That Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried and was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. He appeared to Caiaphas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. After that, to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Most of them are still living. Paul's saying, look, he said, if you don't believe me, go ask Jim, because he was there. He saw him, right? I don't know if it was Jim. That's not really a Hebrew name, right? Probably not Jim, right? James. Yeah. Go ask James. Go ask whoever, whatever Greek name or whatever name, right? So he's saying these people, he says some have died, but some of these guys are still alive. If you don't believe me, go ask them, right? So he says most of them are still living and some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. Amen. Actually, it's kind of a chronological order of the appearance of Jesus. And Jesus goes around and he's teaching. And then the scripture says that he is risen into heaven. As they watched him, that would have been an amazing day, right? Can you imagine being right there and watching Jesus raised and being raised into heaven? And there, and I love the picture that it gives. It's like all the apostles are just going. And then like these angels have to give their attention. Go, hey, y'all got a job to do, right? Y'all got stuff to do, amen? And so then the scripture says that not only did he rise from the dead, not only did he ascend into heaven, the scripture says he sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews, I got lots of scriptures. Thank you, tech team. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Again in Hebrews, but chapter 1 and verse 2, it says this, "But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him also he made the universe. The Son," I love this scripture, "the Son is the radiance of the glory of God's glory." Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for our sins, thank God, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And then Peter says this in verse 3, 1 Peter 3 and verse 22, "Who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with the angels, authorities, powers, and submission to him." The right hand, when it talks about Jesus coming and sitting down at the right hand of the Father, of the God of majesty, he sits down. He talks about that is a position of authority. No wonder Jesus says, "All power, all authority has been given to me. Now you go therefore into all the world," right? So that authority, that position that Jesus has, he's over all things, right? That Jesus is Lord. He says that all authority, with the angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Jesus, your Savior, my Savior, your King, my King, is the ruler. It all goes through him, right? So here we have in this now, we call it the now, right? And the not yet, where Jesus has purchased our salvation, right? And then now is the gospel to be preached into all the world, and then the end will come, as Jesus said, right? So Jesus is going to, he calls us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and then one day it'll be the culmination of all things, where heaven will come to earth, and Jesus and God will be our God, and we will be his people, and he will wipe all the tears. That's in the last part of the creed. That's the grand finale of the creed, right? And so, but now we live in this now and not yet. Well, we have authority over all darkness, right? The God that through Jesus has been given all authority because of his work on the cross. He is king. He is king. Say, he is king. Say, my Jesus is king. Say, my Jesus has all authority, all power in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's Jesus. All authority has been given to him. So what does that look like for us? That's great, Jesus, you got all authority. Great. I got some issues down here, right? Amen. How many of y'all got issues? I got stuff. I got the world crashes in on us. Amen. Difficulties, trials, broken relationships. Amen. So what does that look like for us? So glad you asked. Ephesians chapter 1, here we go. I want this scripture to really come alive to us this morning. It says, I pray that the heart of your, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That's his prayer. Paul's saying, I want you to see something, right? And not only I want the eyes of your physical eyes and your mental, he said, I want the heart, your heart to be open to this understanding, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. You have an inheritance now, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. If you're a believer in here, you have power available to you. That power is the same mighty strength he exerted. Come on. Like if we can, no wonder Peace says, can you just open your eyes and see this? When he exerted, when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above, everybody say far above, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also the one to come. Not, hear that? Not only in this present age, right? His dominion is now. The power is available for you and for me now, in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body in the fullness of him who fills everything. So God, the Bible says that God has risen Jesus and given him a name, right, above every name, right? And that he has put him far above all principalities, power, all the rulers of darkness has been given to Jesus. But then it says in chapter 2 and verse 4, remember the thought is Paul is praying that we'll get it. And in verse 4, chapter Ephesians 2 and verse 4, it says, because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ. And even when we were dead in our transgressions, for it is by grace that you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ. We talked about that last week. That not only was Jesus raised, but we were also raised with him. But watch this. And he has seated us with him. With him. Everybody say with him. In heavenly place, in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus. In order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ. The Bible says, hear this, that Jesus has been risen, he ascended, and he was seated above all powers, all dominion, all authority. And then what it goes on to fully say is Paul says, I pray that you'll get this, that your eyes of your understanding, well, eyes of your heart will be enlightened, that you will know what this truth is. And not only was Jesus risen and seated in heavenly places, but you and I were seated with him in Christ. What does that mean? That you and I are seated with him far above every principality, every power, every might, every stuff that comes against you. Remember, we were called in the beginning to have authority, right? He says, God gave Adam dominion over all the things that creeps around on the ground, right? All the creeps. I remember somebody said, yeah, God giving you dominion over all the creeps. Amen. And all the women of God said, but he is seated. We are seated And no wonder Paul says, I want you to get it. This thing is only gotten by your spirit, by in your spirit, that you know that I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power, right? Remember that? Oh, there's an old song. It says, under my feet, now my victory is complete, right? God is, everything is under your feet. All power and dominion has been given to Jesus. No wonder he says, now therefore you go. You go. Does that mean you have the authority? No, it's been given to him, but we have delegated authority on the earth given by Jesus to go and push forward the kingdom of God and push back the darkness that's in our world. That is our job. We are the light, bless God, we are the light of the world. The light of the world. Now, what if you and I knew it? How would that help you on Monday morning? How would that help you when all of the stuff that fights against you? How will that help you when you don't know where your next bill is going to, where your next money is going to come from? How is it going to help you when you don't know what your future looks like? How does that help you when all of the voices of the demonic are just flying into your ear, telling you how much of a loser you are? All those lies that have all been told about you and all those things that you said, maybe one of those things that your parents said a long time ago, and those things echo in your mind. I remember, I wasn't going to tell the story, but my mom used to say this. So I don't know if you know, I wasn't really a scholar. My son is graduating with honors, actually, from high school. Good job, Wes. And he is, so actually, I'm like, wow, he got that from Julie, because not me, right? I was a mess, like, when I was in high school. I mean, that's good. I have a testimony. I put the test in testimony in my life, right? Like, so my world and my life and my schooling especially, I remember after my dad had passed away, and it's understandable, I like failed every single class except gym. That was one of my report cards. Every single class just failed, right? I mean, I was messed up. My dad had died, all that stuff. And my mom would come to me and she would say this. Watch how the enemy works. He would say this. She would say this. And a good heart. I don't blame my mom, right? She's looking at me now going, are you really going to tell this story? I am, Mom. Sorry. But she would say this. She would say, you know what, David? He says, with every one of those bad grades, you're closing doors on yourself. With every one of those bad grades, you're closing doors on yourself. Meaning, obviously, right? Those bad grades are going to reap consequences, right, in your life, right? With a good heart. What did that say to me, though? What happens is that the devil can come in through a demonic word, right? And all of a sudden, that word dropped from here down to here. That now, doors are not open for you anymore, David. Every bad grade is now, be careful, parents, what you tell your kids. That's good, but make sure they're wrapped all of encouragement and building up, right? So I grew up with this idea that doors were shut for me, that I was kind of less than. So the devil, see how that works? But you know what one day I realized? I don't have to believe those words. I don't have to listen to those words. Those words are demonic because God does have a plan for me, right? God has good things for me. He has a call on all of our lives. And there's no natural thing that can keep you from what God's called you to do. There's no natural situation. There's no bad grades that are going to keep you from what God's called you to do and be, right? Just because your parents had a bad relationship doesn't mean that you're going to have a bad marriage, right? Doesn't mean that you're going to have, like, all of these things. You have been seated with Christ far above all principalities, powers. You have victory in this place. Amen? And Paul says, I pray that you'll get it. I pray that you know it. I pray that you'll understand it. You have power. He is seated. We are seated with him over all darkness, all of the demonic, all sin. Let me tell you something. You're battling sin. Listen, God says you have power over sin. Actually, that is multiple times in Scripture that you have power over sin. You don't have to be controlled anymore by anything. You hear me? Anything. You don't have to be controlled by thoughts. You don't have to be controlled by all the fiery darts of the enemy. right? You don't have to have, when you live like this, you can have no open door for the enemy. Amen? Hey, think about this. You're the head. You're a winner, right? You're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. And you're anointed and appointed to preach the gospel. Like, there is zero weakness in this gospel. There is zero timidity. No wonder he said that perfect love casts out all fear. There's no timidity. That when you walk, listen, when you walk in a room, I love it. Like, people used to say, I don't want to go in that place because, man, I go in there and it just feels dark. It feels like there's something. You ever walked in a place where you felt like, man, that's like, there's something. There's a demonic funk going on in here, right? You ever walked in that room? I used to hear this all the time. Like, people would be like, I don't want to go in there. It might jump on me. Really? You better know who you are. Because I don't know, but when I read my Bible, that I'm the light of the world. And that when I walk in darkness, it all lights up. When I walk in the room, it all lights up. Because the gospel is in me. Because God has seated me with him in heavenly places. So I don't care about demonic. I remember I heard this one, I forgot who it was, but he's sleeping. He was in bed. He's one of the, Lester Sumrall. He's laying in bed one night. He's laying in bed. And he's like, he wakes up and he's kind of groggy. This is his story. He's groggy and he feels this just demonic presence in the room. And he looks up and his testimony is, he says, it was like his devil himself was standing in that room. And he looked up, he looked at him, and he went, all he said was, oh, it's just you, and rolled over and went back to sleep. Come on, somebody. That's the way we're supposed to live. Authority, power and authority. Paul says, I pray that you get it. Amen? When you take authority over your kids, you take authority over your home. Amen? So we talk about dominion. We talk about authority. So what do you have authority over? This is all not in my notes. What do you have authority over? What do you have dominion over? Like, I don't have dominion over the Betchleys. I don't have dominion over their home. You know why? I'm getting out of the camera. Sorry. I don't have dominion over their home. You know why? It's not mine. It hasn't been given to me. Like, authority in their home has not been given to me. You know who has authority in their home? The Betchleys. You know what? If they send something, some kind of demonic funk going on in their home, they have every right and authority to cast that junk out. Amen? You have been given authority over your children. You have been given authority. God has put me as the pastor over this church. Right? I have authority. What given? You business owners. God's given you authority over your business. Right? You have power and authority to trample. You've been seated with Christ in heavenly places far above. Far above. Say, I am. Far above. All principalities. All demonic. All sin. All darkness. In Jesus' name. Say, it's under my feet. It's under my feet. Amen. That's what God's called us to live. So when it says it's not, you know, wait, when I quoted this back in my early days of my denominational tradition when I grew up, I had no idea. I was like, wow, Jesus is sitting down in heaven. That's cool. Until I got into the Word and learned what that means, not just for Jesus, but for me, that I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. So listen, believer in this room, let us live like we are in that place. What if? what if that was really true? What if we really walked like it was true? What if we really live like people? No wonder Paul could say things like, I have had the ability to be content in every situation, whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor, whether I'm in need, whether I'm shipwrecked like Paul, whatever situation. Then he says the famous scripture, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What does that look like? No matter what my circumstances are, I know
that I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. No wonder he can say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It doesn't matter. Situations doesn't matter because I'm coming out on top. Amen?